Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise Him. Thank you so much. You may be seated. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is worthy of our praise. Bible says, from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, He is worthy to be praised. Amen. Welcome you to this session of the service in Jesus' name. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Look at Israel. Israel is God's prophetic timepiece, and Jerusalem is the minute hand. What is happening? It's going to create an atmosphere for the rising of the man of sin, who, through peace, will deceive many. This is the hour we are living in, meaning that the coming of the Lord is so much nearer than ever before. This is time to tighten our belt. This is time to do a soul search and make sure that we are standing right and rapture ready in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Today, Lord, leads my heart to share with you the topic I've called diligence in serving the Lord. Diligence in serving the Lord. Diligence in serving the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory that is due unto your holy name. You alone deserve all the praise. You alone deserve all our worship, O Lord. Father, as we go into your word, I ask that you speak through me, O Lord, unto edification of your saints in the name of Jesus. Father, let your name, Lord, be glorified, and I saturate this place with the precious blood of Jesus. Receive all prayer and receive all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 23. Diligence in serving the Lord. God requires of us diligence in serving Him. In whatever capacity and form we are serving the Lord, that word diligence should apply. Ezra chapter 7, verse 23. This is what it says. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrought against the realm of the king and his sons? The emphasis there is, whatever is commanded by the Lord and whatever we do for the Lord should be done diligently. Amen. We're also going to read from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, 10 to 12 for a foundation. Hebrews chapter 6. This is what it says. Chapter 6, 10 to 12. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit their promises. Amen. Also Hebrews 11 verse 6, we know this very well, what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. When you are seeking the Lord, seek him diligently. When you are working for the Lord, work for him diligently. Even in your secular job, we are expected to perform diligently in our workplace so that the name of the Lord be glorified through us. Because we are writing epistles and we are the people that others can relate to as regards the Lord Jesus Christ. They have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ physically, but when they see you, they should see a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's when we are diligent in our jobs. It's a scripture that says that whatever we do, even as servants, you know, we have bosses in our workplace, we should do it as unto the Lord. That one is very fundamental. As unto the Lord. You serving somebody who is very wicked, Bible says, serve him as you are serving the Lord. It must not be righteous before you do what is right and be diligent in your responsibilities. Amen. The word diligence comes from a Latin word meaning diligent, which means to value highly, to take delight in. Diligence is a virtue and is an indication of a work ethic, whether in the church of God, whether at home or in the office. It is conscientious in paying proper attention to a task and giving of the degree of care required in a particular situation. It is the exercise of carefulness, persistence, and determination in any endeavor, whether it's academic work, whether it is your job, whether it's in the house of God. Today's emphasis, however, will be diligence in serving the Lord. Amen? It is meticulousness, being meticulous, because God cares for details. Can you remember when God gave the blueprint for the ark? For the ark of God, for the temple, details were given. And God expected that every detail must be followed. That will tell you how precise God is and what he expects us to do. It must not be done haphazardly. No, never. It is meticulous, it is scrupulous, it is thoroughness, it is assiduousness. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6:6-7, this is what God also expected of the children of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6:6-7. This is what it says. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Can we see something there? Even in training our children, in bringing up our children, we are to do the work diligently. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontless between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. That's the word of God, teaching them diligently so that they will grow up in the fear and nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not depart from it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's important we do the will of God in accordance with his word. Want to know the will of God? Go to his word. Amen. The will of God is in his word. God cares if we are doing something he has asked us to do diligently. He wants us to do it diligently. We're talking about diligence in serving the Lord. We are to be diligent in following spiritual instructions. We are to be diligent in our vocations. Proverbs 22:29 has something to say about that. You see somebody who is diligent. Let's read this. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Amen. That's your portion in Jesus' name. Yes, you shall be the head and not the tail. But then you have to be diligent in whatever you lay your hand to do. That's what will catapult you there. Amen. In taking care of God's flock, we need to be also diligent. Because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, we are told that we should show diligence in taking care of the flock of God. 1 Peter 5, 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for feeding lucre, as money, but of a ready mind. It is the same spirit that we take care of the flock of God diligently. Amen. Yes, for those who are in leadership, God expects us to do that. Students show diligence when they study their books. Students show diligence when they follow their lectures. If they are fond of going late to lectures, does that show that they are diligent? No, never. In fact, the opposite word is negligence or slothfulness or tardiness, you know, in going to work, in keeping appointments. Need to show diligence. Our God is a diligent God. And we have to follow suit. Amen? Yes. Say, student, follow the lectures. Study your books. Read and read and read. Study and study. And there is nothing that will stop you from making your desired grace. Amen. The Lord helping you. With the God Father there, and you do all that you need to do diligently, you always come at us. Amen. Jesus was diligent in following the Father's will. He knew his purpose. And he focused on it. If you read Luke 2:41-52, we tell you that. We also expected to be diligent in following his footsteps. God expects us to follow the footsteps of Christ because he came as a model son. Amen? We are sons of God. He came as a model son and we are to follow his footsteps. We are to be diligent in serving the Lord in everything. In Romans 12, verse 11, we are told to serve the Lord with red-hot zeal. To be aglow in the Lord. Amen? Yes. Serve God with diligence, with gladness of heart. That's what God expects of us. Let's read it. Romans 12, verse 11. Romans 12:11 says, don't be slothful, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Another translation says, be aglow. Don't be slothful. When you are not slothful, it means that you are diligent. That's how God wants us to serve him. Amen. Yes. We are to be diligent in studying God's word, the word of God. Remember we said that God's will is in his word. And if we want to be diligent in serving and pleasing the Lord, then we need to be diligent in studying his word. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, this is what the Bible says concerning studying the word. It's not enough to read the word of God. It's not enough to hear the word of God. But to study. And you don't have to study because you are a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist. No. As a child of God, Because God's word is love letter to his own children. If you want to understand it and follow his will, then you need to study it. Need to study it. If we don't study it, what will happen? We'll not be able to apply the word of God correctly. There's the story of a man. He had a serious problem on a death situation, and he needed to know what God had to tell him. But he wasn't familiar with his Bible or the word of God. Nevertheless, he had a Bible. So what he did, okay, I'm going to point my finger. This page, just open the Bible randomly. I'm going to point my finger. And whatever God tells me there, that's what I will do. Praise the Lord. He wants to do God's will sincerely, but he didn't know where to turn to. He didn't know what to do. And this is what he did. He put his finger in a verse in the Bible which said, Judas went and hanged himself. Oh. He was very disappointed. No, this is not parliament. It can't be. This can't be. This can't be. Judas, you know, he said Judas went and hanged himself. Okay, let me try again. Try your luck. Then he opened another page. And then he pointed his finger again. You know what he said? What thou doest, do it quickly. Praise the Lord. May we not be so with the Bible in Jesus' name. Study thyself approved unto God. You need God's approval. Yes, this guy, he knows my word. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. If we do not know the Bible, we become shameful and cannot even teach it. But God's will for us is that we are to know the Bible, we are to meditate upon the word of God, and we are to memorize some scriptures too. There are a lot of people who memorize long passages, chapters of the Bible and all that. I can't do that personally. But there are some, by use, you get to know some fundamental scriptures that you need to apply in a particular situation. We are to also to teach this word of God to other people. The word of God is to be talked about day and night. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. To meditate upon the word of God day and night. We are to sow it as seeds in the life of people, the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you sow seeds of the word of God, you are likely to get converts by and by. Amen. Jesus said, my food or my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Is that your meat? Is that your passion? That's Jesus' passion. See, my food, my meal is to do the will of him who sent me. God has sent you to this world. God has sent me to this world. So my desire, my passion should be to do the will of him who has sent me. Every one of us, we have a purpose to fulfill in life. God has not just called you to become a doctor, a medical doctor, a pilot, you know, an administrator, and you know, a journalist, or a lecturer, or a professor. That's good as regards careers, secularly. But the purpose God saved you is that through those offices and positions, you declare the word of God. Amen. That's God's purpose for you. So if you think, oh, God's purpose for me is to become a medical doctor. Maybe your father wanted you to become a medical doctor. That's why you are one. Your parents wanted you to become an engineer. That's why you are one. You want to tell me that's God's purpose? Well, ultimately, the purpose God called you is that in your engineering office, you will lead people to Christ. I'm telling you, that's the purpose of God for your life. You are a nurse. Oh, why am I a nurse? Find out why. Whatever vocation you have, just know that that's not the ultimate. That there is an end purpose, reason why God created you. Just like Jeremiah. Lord said, before you were even conceived in your womb, I knew you. Not only did I know you, I called you to be a prophet to the nation. So believe same for you. And I know of a nurse in Nigeria. She was working in the General Hospital, I think, okay, UBTH. And she was leading people to Christ in her office. How? She was in this Planned Parenthood office. So young girls will come. I want contraceptive and all that. See? Because they will always inquire, ask them questions. Why do you want? Why? I'm married, this. Those who are qualified will be given. But some questionable ones will come. Say, I want. Why do you want? Why? She will now use that opportunity to tell the person about Christ. And by so doing, warn many people to Christ. Amen. I know of a medical doctor right here in Phoenix. From time to time, testimonies come from his office. How he leads people to Christ as a medical doctor. Amen. This very week, I know of a sister, a nurse, in her office. Somebody wanted to commit suicide in her office. Some months ago, I think the mother, the grandmother had committed suicide. Then not long after that one, the mother committed suicide. It was now his own turn. Because there was a compelling move that he should just commit suicide, just like his phobias. But somehow, God led this our sister to discuss with him. And in the process, he gave his life to Christ. Amen? When I heard that testimony, I was so happy. And later on, the same day, few hours later, the same sister called me. Say, another one again has given his life to Christ. Amen. The person was, you know, in a state of discomfort and was not composed. And she had given all the necessary medication. And the person felt very uncomfortable and asked for help from her. What a golden opportunity. She prayed for the guy, and the guy calmed down, everything became settled, and same person gave his life to Christ. Through one sister, through one nurse, one day in an office, discover the reason why you are leaving, my brother, my sister. If we say that Jesus Christ is coming very soon, what am I doing for the Lord? It doesn't have to be only on SWAT Saturdays when we come out to win souls. If you come out to join us, that would be great. But it just doesn't have to be that alone. Wherever we find ourselves, you are a witness in your world, your sphere of influence, where you come across people day by day. The least you can do, even when you cannot talk and pray for them to receive Christ, is to give out literature prayerfully. Will somebody query you, oh, you are giving out a booklet, you are giving out a tract? No. Many people have been converted as a result of reading tracts. Even those thrown into the trash, circumstantially they have come to read it and they gave their life to Christ, and some of them are men of God today. So never downplay the art of witnessing, which is the main reason Jesus came. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save them that are lost. And so should we. Amen. So, we are to hear the word of God, obey the word of God, speak the word of God, confess the word of God, and do the word of God. Amen. It's not the hearers, but the doers that are justified. The word of God is the source of faith. It's very rich. So, my emphasis, I'm emphasizing the word of God because we need to be diligent in studying the word of God to discover that virtually every aspect of our life, you know, we can have solutions or answer to question concerning every aspect of our life in the Word of God. It's a hidden treasure that you have not yet discovered. Through studying, you begin to say, wow, is this thing the Word of God? Sure, it's there. The Word of God is source of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is the source of truth. You want to know the truth? Many people are being deceived today because they don't know the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. It's source of our spiritual freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. The Word of God is our spiritual food that we should take delight in and feed our spiritual body. No, we are made of spirit, soul, and body. We take natural food, physical food. For the soul is the Word of God that is required to feed the soul. The Word of God is the source of spiritual growth. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we're told that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, whereby we grow. We need to grow. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you are giving your life to Christ, are you growing? Well, everybody grows because you are a living thing, you should grow. But some people grow faster than others. The more you get to know the Word of God, I believe the faster you will grow. Amen. Amen. The Word of God is the source of our victory over temptations, trials, and testings. The source of our victory. Psalm 119, verse 11. The Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Amen. Are you ashamed? Shame of the gospel? If you are ashamed to preach Christ, Jesus said he'll be ashamed of you the last day. You don't want Jesus to be ashamed of you. You want to have a glorious welcome. Yes, welcome. That faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what you want. You don't want the Lord to be ashamed. He doesn't want to identify with you. Say, no, 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 no. So we have to have a change of heart and attitude so that the Lord will not be ashamed of us in Jesus' name. The Word of God sets free from error. If you are in error, the Word of God corrects you. Yes, the Word of God, though, brings faith. Like we said earlier, faith comes by hearing. And the Word of God brings purity when you apply the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep himself pure? The reason, the answer is by taking heed to the Word of God. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer is given there. By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. You need to know the Word of God so that in time of need we come readily available for you to use. Amen. The Word of God brings wisdom. There's some wisdom that you get from reading the Word of God. Proverbs 4, verse 5. The Word of God brings health and healing to the flesh. Proverbs 4, verse 22. The Word of God brings guidance. He guides us every step of the way. If you allow God to guide you, then you fulfill your destiny. Psalm 119, verse 105 is the light unto your path. It guides your footsteps. The Word of God brings comfort to your heart, to your soul. When somehow you are not happy and all, the Word of God can bring comfort to you. Romans 15, verse 4. Word of God brings hope. Hopelessness is one reason why people commit suicide. They look this way, I can't see any future. They look that way, can't see any future. No hope. And so some of them, they now commit suicide. It's not our portion. It's far, far from us in the name of Jesus. But this is the reason, because they are hopeless. If you are in Christ Jesus, you can't be hopeless. Amen. Because your hope is in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. He will never fail you. No matter the trial you are passing through, he will see you through. Amen. Yes. Like the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace. They trusted that the Lord could deliver them. Say, the Lord can deliver us. They were also positive. The Lord will deliver us. But they said, even if the Lord will not deliver us, we are not going to bow to the idol set up, O King. Praise the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. Daniel was confident in his God, and God vindicated him. Amen. God will vindicate you no matter what's confronting you in any situation in the name of Jesus. Hold on to God's unchanging hand, and you shall find help in time of need in Jesus' name. The word of God cleanses us. That's one of the ways God purifies our hearts. John chapter 15, verse 3. Bible says that God cleanses us. Even in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, God said that he's going to wash the church with the washing of water by the word of God. By the word of God, he purifies us, he cleanses us, he feeds us, he nourishes us, he gives us direction, he gives us hope, he gives us faith, everything. The word of God. You want to check on yourself whether you are okay. When you are coming, dressing to the church, you look at the mirror. Mirror will tell you, oh, your hair is well set. There's no spots on your face. Then go ahead. But if it tells you otherwise, you straighten up and make sure everything is right. Is it not so? The word of God is a mirror. Mirror that you look at. And you don't look at mirror for fun. It's with a purpose to see if there is anything that I don't desire in my face that is there. If there is a spot, I quickly get rid of it. That's how the word of God should be to us. When you read the word of God and study the word of God, God speaks to you through his word. And the ultimate purpose is to make sure you are right with God. That there are no spots, no wrinkle or blemish in your life. Amen. Because we have to be ready any day, any time. You don't have to set a set date. Say, Jesus Christ is coming so and so year, so and so month. No, it's not necessary. He can come today. He can come this evening. He can come tomorrow. And be ready anytime, any day, anywhere. That's God's plan for you. Amen. Praise God. Yes, the word of God brings assurance. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Assurance of salvation. Sometimes you are in doubt. Am I really saved? The word of God assures you. Yes, you are on course, my son, my daughter. Yes. The word of God brings joy in his presence. You know, Psalm 19, verse 8. Let's read it. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11. Let's read the whole thing there. Psalm 19. Praise the Lord. Psalm 19, 7 to 11. This is what says. The law of the Lord, that's the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This is wisdom. The statutes. All this, talking about the word of the Lord, the scripture. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You want to be glad? You want to be joyful? Let the word of God give you joy. Amen? The commandment of the Lord, that's the word of God, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The word of God enlightens you. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen. There's a song that people have formed out of these scriptures. Say, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired, they than gold. Yea, more than much fine gold. Amen. The Lord is good. Diligently obeying the word of God is an act of worship to God. Diligently obeying the word of God. It's not enough to hear the word of God or study the word of God, but obeying the word of God, doing the word of God. It's a proof of our love for God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Is that not what the Bible says? Yes, that's what Jesus said. If you love him, keep his words. How will you know the commandment of the Lord? It's not just the Ten Commandments. There are more than 1,000 commandments in the New Testament. But thank God, his grace is sufficient for us. The Holy Spirit helps us even to keep all those without our knowing. Amen. Yes, it helps us to keep the word of God, to obey the word of God without knowing. Philippians 2, verse 13. Yes, that's one of the things Holy Spirit helps us to do. It's a proof of our love for him and helps us to get reward. There's blessing in working for the Lord and obeying the Lord. Helps us to demonstrate our faith in him. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the springs, issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Can you see that word again? For out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Proverbs 4, 23. Your heart is very, very important. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, says Jesus in Matthew 15, 19 to 21. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies, etc. Out of the heart. The mind is the battlefield. So you have to guide your heart with all wisdom, with all diligence, so that nothing will contaminate your heart. To diligently guard your heart, watch what you watch. Amen? Watch what you watch. The kind of movies you delight in. Are they violent or pornographic films or movies? Violent things will make you to dream bad dreams, have nightmares. Pornographic movies will make you to dream, obsess in dream, illicit sex in dreams. Some have spirit husbands, spirit wives, all those kind of stuff because of what they allow to go into their heart. So you need to guard your heart with all wisdom, with all diligence. Especially before you sleep, you have to watch. Be careful of what you watch, because the Bible says out of the multitude of business, the dreams come. So if you want to have good dreams, reflect on the word of God. Listen to the word of God. You can listen to audio messages. You can listen to the word of God being read on tape and all that, before you sleep. So you have good sleep, no bad dreams. In Jesus' name. There's something else you need to watch. Your eye gate. Watch what you see. And what this your eyes will take you to. Job knew the importance of the eye gate. So watching his eye gate. And this is what he said. In Job 31 verse 1. Job 31. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? That's King James Version. If you read other versions, it will be clearer. For example, NLT says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. It's a determination, just like Daniel proposed in his heart. Was not going to defy himself. It's a decision you have to make. Amen? What's the remedy for polluted minds? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. You subject every thought, bring every evil thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Through the word of God. Casting down all casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's how. The Word of God. We'll be talking so much about the Word of God. Yes, because it's so very vital. A very successful man of God that I know. You know him, but I'm not going to mention his name. When he was young in the ministry, Satan vowed that, look, you think you have future. I'll destroy you. I'll destroy you. Because you can't destroy me. I will destroy you through lust and all that. Say, no, you can't do that. Then he came into a covenant with God. He made a covenant with God, just like Job did. He said, Lord, please keep me pure and undefiled. When it comes to sexual immorality, I shall not be a part of it. But if I do, please, allow leprosy to strike me. Afflict me with leprosy. I read it. He made it public. I read it. That's a commitment indeed. Daniel proposing his heart was not going to defy himself with any of the king's meat. In your life, you can determine. Come what may, I will not deny my Lord. Amen? Because this time of persecution in the world, this time, people are made to renounce their faith so that they can have so-called freedom. When it comes to that, what will you do? What will I do? We have to make up our minds. We have to determine, come what may, Lord, I will follow you. Amen. And may the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Before it gets too bad, the Lord will catch us up in the rapture. Amen. Yes. Before trouble becomes so bad, so things become so bad like that, the Lord will catch us up in the translation. That's my prayer. That's my hope. And it will work for you if you have that same hope. If that's your weak point or your problem area, because there are some people, when they receive Christ, they find they still have problems in this area. You have to watch the company you keep, and you have to rededicate everything about yourself to the Lord, so that you keep yourself pure. In the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25:14-30, we are admonished to use our giftings and our talents in the service of the Lord. God has invested so much in us, and he expects us to use what we have. In fact, I was listening to a message yesterday by a lady on radio, and the title was God's Equity. God's Equity. That's God has got an investment in you, and he needs a return on his own investment. By the gifts he has given you, by the talents he has given you, even by what you call negative circumstances and situations and happenings and incidents in your life, God expects that out of that something good will come out. Just like Joseph. Joseph was hated by his brothers, was sold into slavery. What happened? That guy was diligent in serving Potiphar. And because of him, Potiphar prospered in his business, in his household. Even Joseph himself prospered. But when you look at prosperity in that definition, I don't know of how many houses Joseph had at that time. I don't know of how many lands. But those are the indices we use today and all that. Nevertheless, God prospered Joseph. You can read it. I'm not going to read that today. God prospered Joseph, and God prospered the master. He was diligent. Was it because Potiphar was very good? Oh, he was a very good man of God. That's why Joseph was very diligent. No. Even when the wife was so bad, he said, how can I do this against my God? Not against my master. Whatever you are doing, do it as unto the Lord, heartily, as unto the Lord. Amen. So, when it comes to serving the Lord, we are talking about diligence in serving the Lord. There are areas you can serve the Lord. You know that very well. There are 5 ministerial gifts: apostleship, prophets, pastor, evangelists, teachers. Maybe you are one of them. But if you are not one of them, that's not the end of the game. That's not the only way you can serve the Lord. In other ways, you can serve the Lord. Then also, God has given 9 spiritual gifts to those who are his children and who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. 9 spiritual gifts. The gift of the word of knowledge, the gift, the word of wisdom, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, gift of walking, of miracles, the gift of prophecy, gift of diverse kinds of tongues, gift of interpretation of tongues. 9 of them. Maybe you have 1 or 2 or 3 or even all. Please use all to serve the Lord diligently. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28, we also told about the ministry of helps in the house of God. Ministry of helps. Where there is a need, oh, be not wanting there. You find you have passion to help people who are in need, to make sure that everything is even in the church of God. Just like the early church. None of them lacked. Even though there was persecution, they were together and they sold properties, lands, and all that to make sure everybody was okay. That's the love of God at its zenith. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Ministry of helps. If God has called you into the ministry of helps, and every one of us, one way or the other, we should be in that ministry. Let's help one another. Let's help the people who are in need. Gift of leadership, administration. In that same verse, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. You are very good at organizing group meetings, group activities, and all that. Use it to the glory of God. Do it diligently. Besides, we have ushers in the church. Have greeters, those who greet people coming into the church. Yeah, these are wonderful roles. We have cleaners. Each time I go to the toilet, I always find it clean and neat. But I don't know who actually does that work of cleaning up. If it's not cleaned up, it becomes messy. But somebody does that regularly. Maybe nobody knows about it. God knows about it. Amen? Keep on doing the good job. Amen? That's a reward for it. Those who are singing, you see, they lift up our spirit to praise God, take us into God's presence through singing and praises. We thank God for your life. Yes, the musicians, wonderful ministry. You know, those in the security department who make sure everything's okay and all that, and are doing it, can even do it digitally and all that. You know, those in Sunday school teachers, these are ways of serving the Lord. Do it diligently. Don't regard it as a mean position. Never. You're a group leader, evangelism, hospitality, decoration group, media crew, the digital crew, etc., 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 publication. Just do the work diligently. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it diligently. And God will reward you in Jesus' name. Galatians 6 verse 4 says, let each one examine his own work. And then he will have his own rejoicing. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy mind. For there is no work nor device in the grave. While we have our being, let's serve the Lord. That's Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10. Also Colossians 3 verse 17 says, and whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do it diligently. Do it joyfully. Do it passionately. When you are diligent in small jobs, God will elevate you and give you greater responsibilities. Amen. Philip the evangelist. If you read about Philip in the Bible, I think Acts chapter 8, the evangelist. Once upon a time, he was one of the deacons chosen just to serve tables in the church. But in due time, God elevated him. Amen? Yes. What about Stephen? Stephen was one of those. If you read Acts chapter 6, verse 5, you find it. Stephen was also a deacon. But later on, he became an evangelist. And in the process of that, he became the first martyr. He was killed on account of preaching the good news. So he didn't remain that level. Whatever you find to do in the work of God, do it diligently in Jesus' name. There's room for everyone to labor and to serve the Lord in the house of God. Have you discovered your place in the house of God? It's your responsibility to find out, Lord, where is my place? I don't just want to be a seat warmer in this church. When I come, I want to be able to do one thing or the other. Make up your mind and do it diligently. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. When he had vision from God, he saw how unclean he was. Oh, unclean man that I am. He saw God's glory. He saw God's holiness. Then, if you read down in that passage, God put up an advert. He said, I need people who will go for me. Let's read it. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? God wants to send people. God, the nations of the world, at that time, the people were terrible. Needed to hear somebody from God. And God is now advertising. Say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, that's Isaiah, here I am. Send me. Amen. He volunteered. God didn't compel him. Oh, say you, okay, I enlist you right now. No. He just made his wishes known. And he said, here I am, my Lord, send me. In other cases, when other people were not ready or willing, God called them. But in Isaiah's case, he volunteered and God vindicated him. Amen. The Lord has said, his vineyard, that the harvest is ripe, but laborers are few. That's an advertisement today. God is advertising. Who will fill that vacancy? Will you, like Isaiah, volunteer without delay and say, here am I, Lord? John chapter 9, verse 4 says, Jesus says, I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day. The night coming when no man can walk. It is day for you when you are still young. It becomes night when you are too old to walk for God. It is day for you when you are allowed to preach the gospel and nobody arrests you. It is day for you in your workplace when you can talk about the Lord and you will not be indicted. But the night cometh when no man can walk. Like it has become night in some countries where you cannot preach the gospel. Your neighbor can report you. Say, I have a neighbor. He's always talking about God. I see him bringing up, teaching the children. He has a Bible. And therefore, they report one another. All those kind of things happen in Russia, in North Korea, all those kind of places. Things like that happen. Why we have the opportunity? Let's do the very best. Oh, my God. I don't know how many days we have, how many years we have before the rapture takes place. But while it is yet day, I have decided to do my best. Lord, helping me. What about you? The qualification you need to fill this vacancy is that you must be born again, Holy Ghost filled, and have zeal for serving God. Amen? Yes. And you must be available. The kind of people God uses, they are those who are faithful, available, and teachable. F-A-T. They are faithful. They are available. Availability is very important. And they are teachable. Amen? If you have these qualities, you are qualified to apply. Amen. Yes. One attribute of diligence is punctuality as against tardiness. Is it in church attendance? Is it in attending meetings and all that? You need to be diligent. Because we are paid, we are often always punctual in our workplaces. Even when we are going to be late, we send advance notice. Oh, please, I may be late 5 minutes and all. But when you come to the church of God, no, nobody pays me. Nobody pays you. So, therefore, we can be tardy when it comes to the word of God. It shouldn't be so. Amen? Yes. God keeps register of what we do, and he will reward us in due time. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. This is what it says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Amen. Revelation 22, verse 12 says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, talk about new heavens and new earth, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And lastly, Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. It's a continuous thing. There's a reward awaiting each and every one of us, young and old. Let us do the best we can. Let's serve the Lord diligently with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can walk. Is there anybody listening to me? You are not yet born again. You wish. You want to make heaven. The gateway to heaven is Lord Jesus Christ. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he will save you, he will cleanse you, and make you a child of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. You have heard the word of God. Today, the word of God says that you can be saved. No matter your background, no matter how weak you think you are, no matter how full of sin you are, God will accept you. Like the prodigal child, come to Jesus. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for compassion upon you, that he forgive your sin and make you a child of God. If you want to give your life to Christ, just confess that Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ was buried for you. Jesus Christ rose again for your justification and is coming back again for you. And that through his blood, your sins are washed away. Believe it like that, it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. Is there anybody here? God has placed an advert today. He needs laborers. In fact, co-laborers, because he does not allow you to do the job alone. He goes with you. Say, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. God wants to use you just as you are. Just as you are. Remember what I said? Just say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. Maybe there are some areas God has been leading you to operate in this church. Yes, you have discovered some void that this area, it's not well. This area is not being taken care of. Instead of pointing at children's fingers, why not tell the pastor, say, I am willing. I want to serve in this department. I want to serve. I don't just want to become a bench warmer. I want to be a useful vessel, zealously working for God, so that anytime the trumpet sound, I will say, here am I, Lord. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I want to thank for my brothers, my sisters who heard the word of God. I pray, O Lord, as we rededicate ourselves, O Lord, for you to use. Lord, Father, have we been tardy and sloppy in the job that we have been doing? Lord, forgive us, O God. Father, those who have been doing the work diligently, Lord, reward them and assure them that there's a reward for each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we shall not lose our reward. Even as your coming is so near, our hope is that when you come, you are going to reward your servants, of which I'll be one. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name.